And we'll take our first question from Keith Shillian with the MMATakeover.com.
Thank you for your time, guys. First to the challenger, Amanda Nunes. Amanda, you have wins over Misha Tate, Ronda Rousey, two wins over Valentina Shevchenko, and then obviously if you pick up a win over Chris Cyborg, that is one heck of a resume. So my question is, if you pick up that win, is there even a debate if you're, that you're the greatest female fighter of all time?
Yes, for sure. I think Chris is the best in her division, you know, and this fight is going to put me on another level. This is 100%.
The decision to move up, was that more for trying to become the double champion, or is that more to try to beat Chris that no one has been able to do in the last 20 fights?
It's not against Chris. The reason I move up was my division kind of stopped, and I told UFC, can you offer me something? Whatever you offer me, I'm going to take it. And they offer me Chris, and I take the fight. That was it.
Okay, over to Chris. Chris,
hi.
The UFC has made this whole division to kind of showcase you. They've had a lot of bantamweights come up and challenge you. What is your overall thought of the division, and what do you think the UFC needs to do to bring in more competition for you?
You know, first thing, I'm very thankful for my UFC and defend my title. Really, I have a dream. It's the open, the real division. You know, for me, can have opportunity to fight for featherweight. I don't want to just be the division. You know, I would like to have more girls, 145. For fight, growing the division, and you know, after that, if I stop fighting, the division continue. You know, I think then invest and put more girls in my division.
Oh, you've been in some very big fights. Some off the top of my head, Gina Carano, Miles Kunin, Holly Holm. Do you believe this is the biggest test of your career in Amanda Nunes?
You know, I always take very serious every opponent I fight. You know, Amanda is very great athlete. She's a champion 135. You know, I'm the only fighter, female, you know, fighting three world champions in different divisions or different organizations and different matchmakers. You know, I think after I fight Amanda Nunes, you know, it's going to be great, not only for me, but for women of MMA. I think it's going to be a great explosion for everybody.
Thank you very much, ladies. Good luck to both of you, and happy holidays to everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Sasha Mox with Fightbook MMA.
Hi. I just want to say good luck to both of you. This is going to be a great fight. This is one that I think fans from all over the world will be looking forward to. First question, Amanda Nunes. You said this fight in particular is bigger than the Ronda Rousey fight. Can you just elaborate on that? And can you talk about the emotion heading into this match with Cyborg?
Definitely is bigger than Ronda Rousey's fight. You know, is a two champion. Never happened before in UFC. This is the first time. And for that reason, make this fight bigger than Ronda Rousey's fight. And am I prepared for this fight? Is also, you know, I'm healthy. I'm physically amazing. In the best shape that I ever been before. And in my mind, so like, focusing for this moment in my career, and I'm very excited for.
Well, it sounds like you're very prepared for this fight. I need to ask, given with your amazing resume, you had fights with Valentina Shevchenko, Raquel Pennington, like I just mentioned, Ronda Rousey, do you think there's enough spotlight on you? Because it seems whenever you fight, let's say, for example, the Ronda Rousey fight, a lot of attention was on Ronda. Do you think there's enough spotlight on you as a fighter heading into this match against Cyborg?
Honestly, I don't worry about that. I worry about the fight, you know. The fight, the result is gonna give it to me the thing that I really want to. And I don't worry about anything else, you know. If they want to promote, who they want to promote, I don't care, you know. I'm focusing right now to to make history. You know what I mean? And it's the only thing that I think right now. Whatever they want to do with the promoter, they feel free to do, you know? And yeah, it happened in all my fights before this one. I'm always the underdog. I love fights like that. I love be the underdog. I love be the one nobody expects. I'm not going to do anything, you know? This is the big thing for me. I like to fight in this kind of position, you know? I don't have nothing to lose in this fight. You know,
absolutely.
And I don't have nothing to lose, only to win. And I'm good with it.
Absolutely. And you know, you are currently the bantamweight champion. You are challenging for the featherweight championship. And just at UFC 231, we crowned Valentina Shevchenko, a person who you beat as the current female flyweight champion. Now, do you foresee a possibility that you could move down and even challenge for a third title, or is that weight cut just too much for you at the current stage of your career?
Right now, I'm focusing on my next fight. You know, it's the big ones in my career, definitely. It's the big ones in my career. And I'm focusing everything that I have, every power, mentally and strength, body-wise, I'm focusing this fight, you know. But after this one, we can talk about, for sure, my next step. I'm going to be openly to talk about right after my next fight.
Thank you. Next question. For the champion, Cyborg, you said this may be your last fight, and you've openly talked about looking into a boxing career. If this does go your way, what else do you have left to prove in the world of mixed martial arts?
You know, I never fight for prove anything. You know, it's something I really love is my job. And actually, I don't say this is my last fight in MMA. You know, I'm going to continue fight. You know, I just say I have a dream, have a boxing fight. This is one dream I came a long time in my life. But it's nothing about this is my last fight. I want to do a lot of women's MMA, you know, and they can grow into the women's boxing. I think you're going to be amazing. Like the McGregor did, you know, I think he's opened the door for this opportunity. And you know, it's not just think about me, but you know, but open the opportunity for women's boxing too. I think it's great. And just to answer Amanda, you know, Amanda says she don't care about promotion, but she said she wants 9 months for training for where she can have time for promotion. This is sounds funny for me.
This is the training, not about promotion. When you have time for training, you don't think about the promotion. About training.
But you know about you being promoted. You said, you know, Presti has time for promotion to fight 9 months. They don't need anything in 9 months. They don't need anything.
But I don't say the promotion to be about me. I say to promote about the fight. Our fight.
The
together,
fight.
Me and
exactly.
You
think they promote the fight 9 months? You think they did?
That is not my problem. You should talk to UFC about that. You know what I mean? That is not my problem. They offer me the fight. I tell them I have this time for. I'm available for this time, and they take it. That is not my problem. You should talk to UFC about that.
No, I don't have any problem. I think it sounds funny. You say you need 9 months for the UFC have time for promoter.
Listen, Chris. Listen, this. You are a powerful fighter. You are a strong fighter. Do you think I'm coming from my last fight about 135? I make 135. Do you think I'm going to step up to fight you if I'm not 100%? Let's be honest.
No, I want
Let's
to be
100%. Let's be honest right here.
I give you like, listen, then,
I'm not available to fight right now. I just make 135. I was injured, and I say like, but maybe if she accepts it at the end of the year, I'm gonna be 100%, and that is not my problem. You should talk to UFC about that.
It's great. I want to be 100%, but do a great fight. I want to be.
Cyborg. Cyborg, so just by listening to the emotion between you and Amanda Nunes, is there any real bad blood between you two? Is it personal, or are you looking at this as just as a professional bout to solidify your legacy?
Don't have any emotion here. I don't talk about any emotion. I just answer what you said. don't have any emotion.
Then by my side is Nante as well. You know, I don't have Nante against Chris. Actually, she's the greatest, you know. She's the best champion in her division. And I'm like very happy to share the cage with her. You know, it's not to do with that. It's not to do in anything about personal, anything. I don't have nothing against her, you know. This is all business right here.
Absolutely. Now, I have one last question for the champion. Do you think, with this UFC 232 headlined by John Jones and Alexander Gustafsson, do you think this fight deserves more spotlight, as it is arguably the best fight in women's mixed martial arts history?
I think you're going to be great. I think Amanda's a great fighter. Purdue, a great fight together, great fighter. And with John Jones, too, I already shared the event with him. I think you're going to be amazing card.
Perfect. All right. Thank you very much for both your times. Thank you for the opportunity. I wish you guys nothing but the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Damon Martin with FlowCombat.com.
First question is for Chris Cyborg. Chris, you know, you've talked about the growth of the featherweight division and obviously your hope that the UFC will continue to expand that division. What would you like to see over this next year to give you competition? Do you think it's just about signing more fighters? I mean, they did the Ultimate Fighter. Were you impressed by what you saw there? Like, what do you feel like it's going to take to get the featherweight division on par with some of the other divisions in the sport?
For me, you know, I would like to fight more per year. I don't want to wait 9 months for one fight. I am healthy. I was in training, and I'm no teenager. I don't have 17 years old to wait almost 1 year for one fight. For me, next year, I would like to fight more. You know, if UFC wants to invest 145 pounds, you know, this is not my own problem. You know, I just continue training, and I'm going to be in step any opportunity to show up for me.
When you look at Amanda Nunes, I know you said that, you know, you don't make any one fight bigger than another fight from your history. But when you look at Amanda Nunes, what do you feel like is most dangerous about her?
You know, I never look at what my opponent is doing the danger. You know, I always train very serious for my opponent and be aware of any situation. I'm aware for do five rounds, if rounds for Amanda Nunes. I watch all her fights with my team. I know her mistakes. I know mistakes she continues doing. You know, and then I know what she's good or what she's not good, you know, but, you know, the one thing I just think when I be a step in the cage, do my own thing, you know, and get the victory and continue to be the champion.
And I know, Chris, you started working with a new management team more recently, and I know you said, you know, you hope things will work out, you can stay with the UFC. Are you confident in that you will be able to stay with the UFC and maybe even do the boxing thing now that Dana White has talked about doing boxing? Like, are you hopeful to stay with the UFC in the future?
You know, this is the one dream I have, you know, but, you know, I'm really happy with my team. You know, I think you work very well together. And let's see, you know, I mean, really continue work with UFC, you know, but I want to be continue work together. It's a possibility. And for sure, I have my dream, but my focus now is my next fight. And after I can talk about next step.
And a couple questions for Amanda. Amanda, you talked about taking the time to get ready for this fight. Can you give me a little idea of, like, adding the extra weight, adding the extra muscle? Like, how has that gone for you, and how is your body adjusting to fighting at 145 pounds?
Actually, I feel amazing, you know. I'm natural 145. You know, my first fight, in the USA, it was 145 divisions. It was back in the day in Strike Force. And when I fight Julia Butt, that was 145 fight. And I feel amazing right now, you know. All my prepare, all my, I gain weight, you know, I put in some muscles, I put in some weight. And I feel amazing, you know. I feel well prepared. I feel like I'm ready for a battle, you know. I know this fight is going to be a battle. And I'm ready for.
Amanda, obviously there's only a couple of fighters in history who have held two titles in the UFC, of course, with Daniel Cormier and Conor McGregor holding two titles at one time. Have you talked to the UFC about what would happen if you win this fight? Like, will you defend the featherweight title? Will you not defend the featherweight title? Like, has that been discussed?
Actually, no. We didn't talk anything about yet, but eventually it's going to happen for sure. And I think they want to really, like, make this happen first to start another deal, you know, and let's see what happens after this fight.
Obviously, throughout her career, Chris has been so dominant. I mean, beyond winning fights, she's barely lost rounds. Without giving away any game plan, do you see holes in her game? Do you see weaknesses in her game? Because obviously for the past decade, you know, hardly anyone has been able to win a round against her, much less really offer her much of a threat.
We all know Chris is very powerful. She's strong. We all know that. You know, let's be honest here with each other. Of course, every single fighter has a mistake. Everybody having a mistake, you know. But sometimes people don't know how to capitalize and do something about it in the fight. This is the thing. Of course, Chris have mistakes. She's a human, you know what I mean? She's a human. She have mistakes. And we training for every single mistake she have. And but also, we training for the good things she have as well. Hello?
Hi.
Hello? Everybody here?
Thank you. Is that all the questions that you have, sir?
Yes, I'm done.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, that is star one. We'll take our next question from Ryan Sprague with MyMMAnews.com.
Thank you, ladies, and of course, best of luck to both of you for this upcoming fight. First question I have for you, Amanda. Damon was alluding to it earlier, and he was kind of figuring out if there's been talks about you defending your belt after this fight. I guess the question is, who do you see after this fight, specifically that you would have in mind for your next match?
Honestly, like, I didn't even think about after yet, you know. Everything is about this next fight, you know. And you will see, I want to, like Chris want her division being good, I want my division being good as well, you know. I want my division run as fast as possible. Like this, I can have it, my next title defense, my next, what? Hello?
Hi.
Hello? Do you hear me?
Can you hear us? Yes.
Yes. Now we're good. You know, I want my division to have the next contender soon. You know, I know we have a couple girls injuries right now. And, you know, the next step right after this fight, for sure we're going to know as fast as possible.
Okay, and then do you think that part of booking this fight against Chris was because there might have been a little standstill as far as competition for you at 135 pounds?
Yeah, for sure. I have nobody right now in my division. All the contenders, one injury, the other one didn't even fight yet. And one of them just fought right now and beat the girl that I already beat. And, like, everything's, like, on the, like out of control right now. And I decided to make my next step, and this was the reason I step up, you know?
Of course. Next question for you, Chris, is kind of similar.
Yeah.
With a win over Amanda, do you really have any thoughts about where you see yourself moving forward? Are you concerned with perhaps a lack of competition facing you?
You know, after this fight, for sure, you know, UFC had a plan, maybe who was going to fight next, maybe the container, you know, the ultimate fighter. And, you know, I don't like to think about the another opponent, you know. I'm focused with Amanda now, and I'm going to fight her next. And after that, you know, we're going to discuss this, and for sure, you know, UFC going to have a plan. My team is going to have plans to see what's going to be next for me.
All right. Thank you very much, ladies. And again, best of luck to both of you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Brian Gearson with MMA Succa.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thank you for your time. So my first question is for both fighters. This is a fight where we have arguably two of the best current and all-time women's fighters in MMA. So I guess I was wondering, do you think that the magnitude of this fight will really elevate not just women's MMA, but women's professional sports in general?
Definitely. This fight is going to be the key, you know, to put the women's MMA in the top, you know. Nobody never see that before. This is the first time, and I'm happy to be a part of this, you know. I'm happy to be doing that. This is the big thing. It's not about me. It's not about Chris. It's about the women's MMA to grow every time we step in the cage, you know. And this is the big thing right now. I'm happy to be the one. I'm happy to face Chris. And we're going to put a show, you know, for all the fans, all the women out there to look up to us. We want to put the show, you know, for everybody really stand up at the end of the fight and clap and be very happy. This is the thing that I look for.
And no. Also to Chris, this is the same question. Sorry.
No.
You know, I think ever grow, you know, at UFC, I think I have a big responsibility for growing the women's MMA, you know, making me really happy to be part of this. And, you know, I think I fight a month, you know, two champions are going to fight each other. I think they're going to be big. They're going to be big stats for women's MMA. And, you know, I appreciate all the women who have, you know, fighting any place, you know, for women. I think they make it the best they can for promoting women's MMA.
And my second question is, again, for both fighters. So I'm kind of wondering what you guys' thoughts are on the ESPN deal. So, I mean, there's nothing against Fox, obviously, but ESPN is a more accessible channel. A lot more people know where that channel is, and they kind of have it saved as a favorite. So I was kind of wondering, like, how do you feel about the timing of this? Because obviously it is the biggest fight in women's MMA ever, and your guys are transitioning over to the ESPN platform, where arguably you're going to get more exposure out there. So I'm wondering, like, how do you feel about that?
Always. When we have exposure, it's very good for the fighters, you know, for sponsors, for future things, you know, in your career. Always good you have exposure. If it's this new deal, it's going to help it a lot with exposure. I'm happy with it. I'm very happy. And I can't wait to see what is this new deal is going to take all the fighters out, you know. UFC keep growing. The women's MMA keep growing, and this fight is going to be huge. It's going to put you really the women's MMA out there. You know, I know I have a lot of girls in the division. I know every girl, every single one is a part of this, you know. But me and Chris now, we're going to make history, you know. We're really going to make everybody stop to watch me, her fight. And this is going to be awesome.
And Chris, too. Same question.
You know, it's a great, you know, we're still having the new going to work with the ESPN. This means maybe the fight is going to make more money, you know. I don't know. This is have to be good for everybody. But I think it's going to be great. The ESPN fighters there. And that's it.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. And best of luck to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now take our last question from Rodney James Edgar with MMA Soldier.
Hey, my first question is for Cyborg. Cyborg, I've covered all the UFC events that you've done in Las Vegas, and observation I have is that you draw out a big crowd. A lot of people come out to see Cyborg. A lot of people love you. Is Las Vegas one of your favorite places to fight, or if not, your favorite?
You know, I love fighting California. You know, I don't know if you went to my last fight with Holly. You know, you just hear Holly. You don't have so much cybernation there. You know, but You know, I never just listen to the crowd. You know, I go over there to do my best. But Las Vegas is a nice place to fight. But, you know, in California, I have my crowd, whole crowd here come and watch me. And but, you know, I'm going to put a nice show. And if people, you know, have the opportunity to be there, probably going to watch on TV.
Now, in the past, you've been critical about UFC, you know, not promoting you enough. But do you feel like that's changed a lot? Because I feel like they definitely, you know, you know, like I said, that's a big part of why you have, you know, such a huge fan following, especially in Las Vegas during these big fight weeks.
You know, it is in the past. I don't just think about me. I think not just me. Have a lot of fighters have the same problem. You know, but it is, I don't want to change anything anymore. You know, I just have to continue doing what I have to do, doing my job, and be aware for my next step.
All right. And Amanda, I know that in the past you've had some sinus problems when you were in Las Vegas. We actually talked about last year at the PI during media day, and you said you were taking medication and things. Are you still treating that, the sinus infection?
Yeah. If something is chronic, you know, you have to keep it, go to the doctor. You have to keep the medication on point. But now I'm 100%. You know, I get it. Everything's under control. And I'm 100%. You know, my doctor tell me, like, I'm going to be ready. Nothing's going to happen. And I'm ready to go.
Great. Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit earlier on the call, but, you know, I mean, what you're getting ready to do is, you know, you're getting ready to try and make history for women's MMA, and it's incredible. Can you just tell me how you're feeling about that? Just kind of elaborate a little more.
I feel amazing, you know. Like, this is a huge moment in my career. You know, I always think about this kind of moment, you know, when it's going to happen something big. Happen UFC 200. Happy against Ronda Rousey, and now once again against Chris. That is amazing. You know? I'm very happy with my life. I'm, like, grateful to everything that I want. The life helped me, you know, the life gave it to me. And this is an unbelievable moment in my life that I've been enjoying every single time since I signed the contract until today. Until this thing done, I'm going to enjoy and I'm going to have fun the day of the fight, you know, because this is the moment every single fighter look for, the moment to make history, the moment to go to the upside in your career, the moment to challenge yourself, you know, see what you're capable of. This is the moment right now in my life, you know. What am I going to do there? What is the answer? Where is the answer? You know, I have the question right now. The answer is going to be the day, you know, and this is the only thing that I think right now.
Ladies, thank you so much. Best of luck and happy holidays.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I'll turn the conference back over to Mr. Costello for any closing remarks.
Thanks, Cody. I want to thank Chris and Amanda for joining today's call. Media, please stay on the line as we dial in the main event. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Hey, Cody?
Yes, sir.
Are we in a private line? Thank you.
day and welcome to the UFC's 232 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. This time I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Chris Costello with UFC. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Cody. I'd like to now welcome in the main event for UFC 232, former light heavyweight champion, number one contender John Jones, and number two contender Alexander Gustafsson, who will battle for the light heavyweight championship. And with that, we can open up to questions.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. We'll take our first question from Jeffrey Harris with 411 Mania MMA.
Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today. First question for Alexander. This is a rematch that's 5 years in the making. I think there was a time where we thought we were going to get this fight in 2014. Then, you know, due to injuries and scheduling, we never saw it. Now it's finally going to happen. Just what's it like for you to be on the cusp of this rematch and fight you've been looking for almost half a decade?
Well, it's great. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to get in there.
Now, can you bring us back at all to 2015, like when you got hurt and I guess the frustration you felt from when the rematch was originally scheduled and then it got put off because Jones ended up fighting Cormier?
Yeah, that was tough. That was tough, but, you know, it was pretty tough, but, you know, it's in the past, and here we are now. We're fighting the 29th, and I can't be more ready. I can't be more ready for this fight, and I'm feeling great. And, you know, like I said, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Question for John. You're unbeaten, I think, in 11 UFC title fights. This will be Gustafsson's third UFC title fight. He's yet to win a UFC title fight yet. Do you think that says anything about what type of athletes and fighters you are?
You said, do you think it says anything about what type of athlete I am?
What about you compared to Gustafsson?
Well, what's your question exactly?
Well, because you've won 11 UFC title fights. He's yet to win one.
Yeah.
Do you think it says anything about you being a certain type of athlete, and do you think maybe Gustafsson's missing anything?
What it tells me is that this is who I am, this is what I am, and this is my comfort zone. High-level fights is my comfort zone. Championship fights is my comfort zone. Five-round fights is my comfort zone. Fighting the baddest dude in the world is my comfort zone. I've been doing this shit since I was 23 years old. And it's always been exactly the same with a hand raised. So that's all this tells me, is that another day at the office. No fight's a big fight. It's just another fight. This is what I do. This is what God put me on this planet to do. And yeah, another day at work.
Now, John, one interesting little factoid going into this fight is you've actually fought more recently than Gustafsson. He last fought in May 2017. Could that affect him at all going into the fight, knowing what you know about Gustafsson?
I don't know. I don't know how Alexander's going to handle the layover, the layoff, and the pressure. I don't really know how he's going to handle it. I train and I predict him to handle it well. But I know how I'm going to handle it. You know, the last time I was out for a year, I came back and knocked out the so-called greatest fighter ever, and that's Daniel Cormier. So I have no doubt in my abilities, my training, my team, my layoff. You know, the proof is in the pudding with me. I have no losses on my record. So I'm going to go and be myself.
And last question for Gustafsson. Since you haven't fought since May 2017, do you anticipate any ring rust? I mean, people throw that term around a lot, and it has been a while since your last fight. So I guess, what do you do ready to get prepared? Because this is one of the biggest fights of your career, and it is a five-round title fight, so you won't have any ring rust for this type of challenge.
I don't believe in ring rust at all. The layup has just been good for me. It's just been good for me. I'm a different fighter today than I was than I was 1.5 years ago. And this is my time. I feel this is the time this fight should happen. I've never been this ready in my life. And I feel no pressure at all. I'm just enjoying every second of it. It's a dream come true. I'm living the dream right now, so I'm enjoying every second of it. And I'm going to enjoy every second of it in the fight. 5 rounds for me these days, not a problem at all. I'm ready for 10 rounds.
Thank you, gentlemen, and good luck to both of you.
Thank you. God bless you, brother.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Aaron Bronstetter with TSN.
Hi, guys. I'll start with a question for John. Since coming back, you said you weren't interested in fighting Daniel Cormier, but late last night you challenged him to a rematch for the light heavyweight title. Why is he back on your radar, and does the fight at heavyweight potentially interest you as well?
Well, the only reason why I brought up Daniel Cormier's name is because he brought up my name. And so I just figured, you know, I used to kind of, when I was in trouble, you know, I sat back all summer long and let everybody just talk as much shit as they want and just talk blindly with knowing no facts. I watched everyone that I beat in the past say, oh, he was on steroids when he fought me the first time. That's why he beat me. I just sat back and let everybody have at it, and I just stayed quiet for almost a whole year. Now I'm back, getting ready to reclaim my throne. And the sitting down and being quiet days are over. You know, Daniel Cormier opened his mouth about me. You know, he wants to sell to the people that steroids had something to do with my success. He would love it. That's the dialogue he wants to get out there. That's the narrative he wants to get out there. And I'm going to nip it in the bud. So I challenged Daniel Cormier to be my first title defense. Let's see what he does. I don't think he's responded yet. And I think everybody knows he doesn't want to fight me a third time. I'm not out to get Daniel Cormier. I'm just protecting myself. The guys out there making comments about me. And I'm just, you know, just responding. It is good.
When you look at the light heavyweight picture, though, for future, I guess, title fights for you, there aren't a whole lot of great options out there. But if you look at heavyweight, there's a lot of potential super fights. I know when you came back, that was something of interest to you. Is a move to heavyweight something that you would want to do?
Yeah, you know, first, getting this light heavyweight championship back in New Mexico, where it's been since 2011, that's my first goal. And then after that, you know, I don't really know what's next after that. Whether Daniel Cormier decides to come get this third loss or super fight at heavyweight division. I don't really know. I'm pretty up for whatever. Right now I got a great challenge ahead of me, so I'm just focusing on this. And you know, after that we'll start playing with some options with Dana and Ari and those guys, Hunter.
Now, the California State Athletic Commission recently recommended that you do VADA testing for this fight. You decided to forego that. What went into that decision, and were you at all worried about the optics of that?
You know what? I was actually advised not to get in it too much. It's all a pretty new conversation. It's something I haven't really been putting too much energy into. Like, every ounce of my body and spirit, my mind has been dominating this next fight, actually finishing the fight. And, you know, I don't want to speak out of turn when it comes to these companies. These are pretty serious companies. And, I want to get my mind around the whole situation before speaking more on it, so I'm just not going to really comment too much on it.
Is it because it's such a recent thing and you don't really have all the information that you need to do something like that?
Exactly. I mean, this was just kind of thrown at me recently. I haven't spent any time or any of my energy on it. I haven't even put much thought into it right now. And I realize it's a very serious deal. Right now I have a fight coming up, so you know, I'm just, you know, one thing at a time.
All right, this is for Alex. If you were to have made...
I can answer after the fight, you know?
Yeah. No problem. So this is for Alex. Alex, if you were to have to decide what was more important to you in your career, would it be this rematch or just winning a title in general? I mean, I know you get the chance at both here, but is this rematch more important to you than, say, fighting Cormier again if he was to continue to be the champion?
Yes. Yes, it is. This is the big fight I've been waiting for and I've been training for my whole life. This is the one, the fight I wanted for a very long time. It's bigger fighting someone else for the belt. You know, this is me beating the best guy out there, beating the guy that's never been beaten, and take his place. So it's the biggest thing there is for me right now.
And the last question for Alex. Jones had just mentioned that he wants his first title defense to be against Cormier. He doesn't have the title yet. Do you think he's overlooking you and he thinks this will be an easier fight than it will be?
Well, I don't really care so much about it, you know. I'm here on a task. I'm here to be the best guy in the world. I'm here to be the world champion. I'm here to beat John, nothing else. Everything else is not important to me. You know, they can write whatever they want to each other on Instagram or Twitter or whatever. I don't care. I'm here on a mission, and my mission is to beat John, nothing else.
All right, thank you, guys. Enjoy your holidays, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll now take our next question from Damon Martin with FlowCombat.com.
Hey, guys. First question for John. John, this last year, I know it's been crazy, and you kind of get exhausted answering the same questions over and over and over again. Is there a little bit with this fight that's almost like cathartic to kind of turn the chapter, turn the page, so to speak, and just move past all that and hopefully write a new chapter in your career?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, winning this fight definitely helps you move forward from a lot of stuff. You know, I don't like the fact that the first fight was so close. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there who feel as if he won the first fight. So, then to come back into the game, I do feel like I have a fresh start. I know I have a fresh start. In my spirit, I have a fresh start. And getting rid of old skeletons, it's always going to be nice. You know what I mean? So, you know, my goal in this fight is to dominate, finish the fight. I believe that's what's going to happen. And, it'll be nice to move forward and people realize, all right, this guy was just proven. They have metabolites in his system. Obviously, for all the cowards out there who said I beat them because of steroids, that's proven to be not true. And your Cormier trying to convince people that steroids had something to do with him being knocked out, that's obviously not true. Nanograms of a metabolite does not affect your performance. So for everybody who said that, you know. So I finally got past that. Now for the doubt of you know, Gustafson, whether he won the first fight or not. I mean, you just heard the guy say, I get the chance to try to beat the guy who's never been beaten. Like, which one is it? Did you beat me the first time? Because you just admitted that you didn't. But anyways, yeah, man, to win this fight in devastating form is going to be nice, man. It's going to be real nice.
You kind of just answered my next question, but I'll ask anyways. You said in the past, and you were honest and said that you probably didn't train the way you should have for the first fight with Alex. You've been very honest about that. Do you feel like you do need to go out there and dominate him, finish him, put him away to show what kind of fighter you are? Because you have said in the past that, you know, maybe you didn't take him as seriously as you should have the first time.
Training for the second fight, me and my coaching staff, we realized how underprepared we were the first time. You know, Alexander he brought a different game to the game, and it was something that none of my teammates had prepared me for. We overlooked him. We overlooked him completely. And, I mean, if you notice, round two, I was so tired, I could barely finish a double leg dive. I've been shooting doubles since I was a kid. I was just tired, man. I was exhausted in that first fight. But I still had enough heart to pull out the victory. I kicked it to a whole different gear in the late rounds of that first fight. I know now how underprepared I was the first time. And you'll see a completely different strategy. You'll see a completely different fight. A completely different fight.
And John, a lot of people, you know, have called you the greatest of all time, but you talked about over the last year, you've kind of stayed quiet, let people say what they want to say about you and just kind of be on. But, you know, you've heard, you know, Demetrius Johnson being called the best pound-for-pound fighter in the sport, Daniel Cormier being called, you know, the greatest fighter, maybe the greatest fighter of all time, all these different things you've heard over the last year. Is there a part of you that feels like a win here kind of reclaims that throne as well? You've heard it all. I mean, Conor McGregor, I'm the greatest, all this thing. Do you believe this fight kind of puts you back to where you belong as A, the pound-for-pound best fighter in the planet, and B, the greatest fighter of all time?
No, I don't think, because being considered the best, I don't think one fight makes you. Like, one fight doesn't make my career. It's a journey. It's not one fight. I feel like it'll always be up for debate who's the best. You know what I mean? Whoever's the best is whoever's hot at the present moment. I feel like MMA fans are very quick to forget people's accomplishments. Like, for example, Anderson Silva's not even in the conversation anymore, it seems, as a GOAT, which is a shame because he's done so much for our sport. Jose Aldo, you know, guys who have been just kicking ass for years, they do so much for our sport, and then, you know, one defeat, one close fight, and now they're not the best anymore. So it's like, I understand that that's a conversation that always would just be an opinion, and I just try to focus on the things I can control, which is, you know, preparing myself as best I can for each fight and making sure my hand's always raised at the end of the day.
Awesome. A couple questions for Alex. Alex, you know, the last fight was 5 years ago. Fighters change a lot between fights 3 months apart, much less 5 years ago. But what do you feel like is the biggest difference in your game now versus what it was 5 years ago?
I'm just physical and mentally ready for this task now. It's the right time for me, and I'm just a different type of fighter now. I've been developing everything in my arsenal. I'm better in every aspect of the game. I'm faster than ever. I'm a smarter fighter. Every aspect of the game is so much better right now.
And, you know, Alex, you've had a couple shots at the UFC title. The first fight with John, you know, one of the greatest fights of all time. It was very close. You challenged him more than anybody else. But at the end, you came up short in the decision. Daniel Cormier, same thing. Tremendous battle. Very close fight. Maybe could have gone your way. But again, the judges said you came up short. Do you feel like you need to go out there and really have a strong, dominant performance? Not, you know, maybe not leave it to the judges or kind of, you know, prove that you are the guy and not have another really close fight with a guy like John Jones?
Yes. I'm here to finish the fight. I'm here to look for that finish. If I get that finish, I'll give everything I have. So it's, however this fight will end up, I will make sure I win this fight. If it takes that I push him for 5 rounds, you know, or if I see the opportunity to finish, I go for that. Whatever. I'm not gonna do the same mistake a third time. It's not gonna happen. I'm here to finish the job.
Awesome. Thanks, Alex, and thank you, John. Best of luck next weekend.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Keith Shillon with the MMATakeover.com.
Thanks for having me. First question is to John. John, obviously you've been through a lot of stuff between run-ins with the law, suspensions. Through this, it seems like a lot of fans have turned against you. Do you care about losing fans? And also, what do you got to do to try to win them back?
Yeah, of course you care about losing fans. You know, everybody wants to be a liked person. And what I got to do to win them back is just, you know, make less mistakes, and show signs of growth. And I feel like I've grown tremendously, having the sport taken away from me and showed me how much it really means to me. You know what I mean? I'm not in the business of taking fighters lightly anymore. Freaking getting all crazy right before the fight the way I used to. You know, I feel like I've matured a lot. And it all means a lot more to me now. So, yeah, you know, just making less mistakes. I think at the end of the day, everything is forgivable. Most things are forgivable. And especially in American culture, they have a way I feel like in American people love a good comeback story. You know, I feel like they love to build athletes up, people up, celebrities up. A lot of people really enjoy watching people fall. But a lot of people really enjoy watching people climb up after bullshit. And so I'm aware of that. And my goal is just to climb up, get it right once and for all. And,
okay.
You know, showing people a great comeback story.
Okay. I mean, you've accomplished so many things. You beat so many great fighters. You're obviously in the debate for greatest of all time. What do you want your legacy to be when you're all done with your career?
What is my legacy? What would I want it to be? Let's see here. My legacy. Just being a bad motherfucker at the end of the day. Just a bad dude, man. Am I perfect? No. Am I a Christian who swears? Yes. Do I love God? Yes. Do I love my family? Yes. Am I a bad motherfucker in that ring? Yes. And that's it, man. You know, my one thing I'm realizing is being a champion, you don't have to wear a suit every day. You don't have to be politically correct and kids, all the kids look up to you because you're such an angel. And who said that that's what a champion has to be? A champion is a guy who goes out there after being cut in the first round of your fight, being taken down for the first time ever, fighting with one eye shut, half the fight. Freaking. A champion is a guy who gets armbarred and freaking finishes Vitor Belfort, finishes the fight with one arm. Dude, that's a champion to me. Just a bad motherfucker. So that's what I want my legacy to be. Call me a good person, a bad person. Call me a hypocrite. Call me what you want. I know I'm a bad dude. And that's what a champion is to me. The baddest dude with the biggest heart, the biggest balls. And that's me.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's going to debate that you're a bad MF-er. So my last question for you, John. Brock Lesnar is a big name in the sport. He's probably the biggest money fight going right now besides Conor McGregor. There's talks that him and DC are going to get that fight in the near future. You've talked about a desire to want to fight Brock. Do you still have the desire, and do you think that you deserve it more than DC?
I don't really know about the deserving part. DC's a pretty deserving guy. He does a lot of right things. Carries the sport very well. But fighting Brock Lesnar always is appealing. You know what I mean? That's a win-win situation. That's a huge money fight. That's me fighting a guy that's a hell of a lot bigger than me. And everyone wins in that situation. I win because of the courage that it takes to step in there against a guy who's way bigger than you like that. I win because of the pay-per-view that will follow it. The fans will win. It'd just be great for the sport. It'd be good for everybody involved. I'm totally always up for that.
Excellent. Over to Gus. Alex, you are you're in a really tough situation. John was the champion. He gets stripped. DC becomes the champion. John defeats him. Now he's a champion again. He gets stripped again. DC's a champ. Now they're going to strip DC for the winner of this fight. If you win this fight, are you going to feel like you're the light heavyweight champion of the world?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When I win this fight, I will be the world champion.
Okay. And my next question to you is, I just asked John about his legacy. Do you need to get this title for your legacy?
Yeah. Yeah. This is the fight. This is it. So, that's all that is.
Okay. And my last question to you, going back to the first fight, I know you can't take too much stuff from a fight 5 years ago, but when you walked in, you were a huge, massive underdog. Not many people were predicting you to win. Now, after the war you had, there's a lot of people predicting you to win. Has your confidence been built at all because of how well you did in that first fight and many people scored the fight for you?
My confidence comes from my hard training and the time I put in, all the sacrifice you do every day to become a better fighter. So that's where my confidence comes from. And that was 5 years ago. It's in the past. I don't look at that fight anymore. We have a new fight coming up now, and this is the fight. This is the fight it is, and this is the fight I have to win.
Excellent. I wish you guys both luck, and happy holidays to both of you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. We'll take our final question from Mark LaMonica with Newsday.
It's a quick question for John. John, you spoke before about how America loves comebacks, and we love to see people fall down and build themselves back up. I'm wondering, why do you think that is? What do you think it is about our nature, our society, or whatever it is that makes that happen?
Well, I think people like to see people fall down because it humanizes the athlete. It reminds the people at home that this guy is no better than me. Look at this guy. He's a piece of shit. He does drugs and just got in a car accident. I'm better than him. You know, it makes people feel better about themselves when they see someone who's accomplished a lot do things that everyday people do. I think that's why they like to see people fall down. You know, and as far as being, I'd like to see a good comeback story. It gives people hope. It's like, man, if this guy can. Baby, I'm on the phone.
Okay, I'm gonna be
back. Bye. It gives people hope. If this guy can come back from this and that, and his mom dying, being severely depressed, losing his job when he know he did nothing wrong. This guy can come back from that. You know, who am I to give up? My boyfriend broke up with me. My girlfriend broke up with me. And now I feel like my whole world is over. It's like it puts things in perspective to people, I think. And that's why I continue to fight. Dude, this summer, I was so freaking sad. And I thought to myself, how easy would it be for me to take 9 world championships, $7 million, and just walk away from the sport. Delete Instagram, delete Twitter, never worry about what fans have to say ever again. I mean, that's the easy route. We've seen people do that before. We've seen people in the past lose a fight and never come back. That's the easy route. A real man comes back, faces the music, does it all over again, rebuilds it from ground up all over again. So I don't know. I just comeback story part. It gives other people hope, and I love the fact that my story is controversial, because it shows that I'm far from perfect, and it shows if a guy like John Jones can do it, you know, who says anyone can.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you, John. Appreciate your time.
Yes. No doubt.
I'll turn the conference back over to Mr. Costello for any additional or closing remarks.
Thanks, Cody. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us on today's call. Press events for UFC 232 will begin next Thursday, December 27th. Please see the updated PR schedule of events. Again, thanks to all for participating. Happy holidays, and we'll see everyone next week in Las Vegas.
Thank you. That does conclude today's conference. Thank you all for your participation.